1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News brief.
Heavens are roaring.
A vigil at the Kennedy Center for conservative activist Charlie Kirk. House Speaker Mike Johnson.
The best way to honor his memory and honor his unmatched legacy is to live as Charlie did.
Investigators say the 22-year-old suspected gunman is not cooperating with their probe. A financial request in the wake of Kirk's assassination. CBS's Willie James Inman.
So the Trump administration is requesting $58 million in emergency funding for security for the executive branch and funding to protect judges.
15-year-old British actor Owen Cooper, now the youngest male Emmy winner ever. He took last night's prize for Netflix, Adolescence.
It may have my name on this wall, but it really belongs to the people behind the camera and Stephen and all that, all the cast. So, yeah, and I hope you all have an amazing night and good night.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Isabella Nieto. There's a team in central Wisconsin working to bring a safe haven baby box to the area. Melissa Kay reports.
Linda Casper of Grand Rapids brought the idea of a baby box to Jeff Penscover. Penscover is an alderperson for the city of Wisconsin Rapids and also serves on the Wood County Board of Supervisors. He connected Casper with Sue Smith. She's the Wood County Health Officer and Director of the Health Department. Smith said the idea of installing a safe haven baby box in Wood County aligns with her own beliefs.
I recall a sad situation in Wood County around 2019 with a baby being found. And if this saves one baby, it is so going to be worth the effort.
Just having the box doesn't mean it will inevitably be used to surrender an infant. Casper says when the door is opened, there's information inside that offers additional options.
They can talk to someone on the hotline. Then they can go to a police department if they feel comfortable with that, or go inside the fire department, or go to a hospital, and then they could do a face-to-face.
There are 7 baby boxes in Wisconsin, but the closest ones are in Reedsburg or Green Bay, and the rest are around Milwaukee.
It's going to serve the greater central Wisconsin area.
The proposal will come before the city council for a vote this fall. Casper said working with city officials has been rewarding and encourages others to not be afraid to share their ideas.
There's a lot of good things that can happen from a small seed.
Casper's team is determined to find a location in central Wisconsin.
A baby changes everything. A lot of joy can be brought, but you know, if that person just feels they can't do it, the option will be there for them.
If the proposal doesn't go through in Wisconsin Rapids, Casper says they'll look into Stevens Point, Marshfield, or even Wausau. I'm Isabella Nieto for WXCO News.
The Pack is back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, the Packers get ready now to play the Cleveland Browns. The Browns losing to the Ravens yesterday in Baltimore, 41-17. But Jordan Love will be without one of his best receivers, Jaden Reed, Matt LaFleur.
Unfortunately, he broke his collarbone, so he'll be down for quite some time. We'll see. Certainly, I would expect him back at some point this season, but obviously it's a big blow to us.
College football, the Badgers host Maryland next after losing in Alabama 38-14 on Saturday. Luke Fickell.
Well, that's obviously not easy to swallow. And the truth of the matter is, I told those guys that was a much better team than we are right now.
Baseball, the Brewers lost to the Cardinals yesterday 3-2, but that's okay. The Crew, the first team in the major leagues this year to clinch a playoff spot.
It's been a joy for me to be around a group of guys that have taken that uncommon mindset as serious as they've taken it.
That's Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We have another warm, summery day on the way. Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 85 this afternoon. The wind just light out of the southeast at 5 to 10. Tonight, mostly clear. We're going to drop into the upper 50s to low 60s. Tomorrow, more sunshine with a high in the low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
Oh, this is Robert Pilot of Nativerts Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, could deal a death blow to the impact, the power, the capacity of the Supreme Court to decide Voting Rights Act cases. This is one of those times when the Supreme Court needs to hear from the public about the appropriate resolution of this major case that could compromise the Voting Rights Act going forward beyond Louisiana.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Maggie Dawn.
We're joined at 5 p.m. by Wisconsin Democratic gubernatorial candidate Ryan Sternand. We dig into why he's running and what he proposes for Wisconsin's future.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on a Monday morning, September 15th, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. And whether it's on the radio or by a podcast, over the website, social media, we appreciate you getting your week started right here. I got a question for you. Should I question whether I even own a TV or if it is some other kind of weird device? I mean, to watch the Emmys last night and all the shows I have never heard of win awards, maybe my TV is some kind of relic. Or maybe I'm the relic. I'm not sure. We'll talk about that. Including, however, one particular moment during the Emmys was emblematic of how TV is different now compared to when TV used to bring us all together. And we got that moment in a single song that we'll talk about later this hour. Also coming up, the candidate list for 2026 for the election. It's growing longer. Just this morning, about an hour ago, we got the email with confirmation from State Senator Kelda Royce. She is now a candidate for governor. She made the announcement early this morning saying, quote, "With everything on the line, Wisconsin needs a governor who's been training for this moment her whole career and knows how to deliver. We can't afford to wait, no matter who you are or where you're from. You deserve the freedom to thrive right now." Again, that's Kelda Royce announcing this morning that she's running for governor. Let's see. Of course, this all started with Governor Tony Evers deciding not to run for a third term. So Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez is also a candidate for governor. Now that leaves the Lieutenant Governor spot open in 2026. Current Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski is now running for the LG post, opening up the Secretary of State role. And that leads us into today's show, where we will talk live with Milwaukee City Council member Jocasta Zamarripa, a former legislator who is now running for Wisconsin Secretary of State. And, of course, we may have other candidate announcements, even right here on the show, in the coming days. So stay tuned for all of that. But again, Kelda Royce is in the race for governor, along with Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, all on the Democratic side. Washington County Executive Josh Showman, along with businessman Bill Berrien, on the Republican side, for a primary election that will take place 11 months from now. Also this morning, we're going to be talking about how far-right provocateur Charlie Kirk symbolized the fight over free speech as universities faced pressure to cancel his appearances, but they also faced pressure not to give in to so-called cancel culture. And that makes it really ironic that the most tangible activity in the country in the days after Charlie Kirk's murder has been a wave of firings of people for expressing their own points of view. and threats of firings from people like a member of Congress from Western Wisconsin, who we did talk about a bit on Friday to answer the question from Tony on YouTube. I wonder who we're going to talk about today, he says. I have one guess. Yeah, the guess is Derek Van Orden, because when we mentioned him late last week, he had posted dozens of times with emotional reactions to Charlie Kirk's murder and the reactions to that killing, dozens of times. It is now in the hundreds. He has posted hundreds. He has been on a stream of posting all weekend long on what used to be known Twitter, mostly threatening to cut off federal funding for people or groups, or now entire cities. Entire cities. The entire city of Ellsworth, he says, is in my district, but I'm going to cut funding to them because I didn't like how one city employee reacted to Charlie Kirk's death. The entire Mayo Clinic system. He's threatening to cut off federal funding for the entire Mayo. He can't do that. He doesn't have the time to do that. He's wasting our time and resources, but he's also giving off a vibe that should genuinely concern his family and loved ones. So we'll get into all of that. Also, the current president and his party may be shamelessly trying to drag America back to the days of coal and oil generating most of our power and pollution, but plenty of other people are pushing back against that, and we're going to talk to Robert Craig from Citizen Action Wisconsin about the ways they're making sure lawmakers are aware of the direction being demanded by most Americans, and it does not involve being dragged back to the past and ignoring the problems of a changing climate. So that, and oh my goodness, so much more. We've got Jimmy Koska talking about sports. I think Jane Mantner's back from vacation. Brittany Merlot is still on hers, and so she'll be back tomorrow. John and Gordy from our Madison station. And if you can't stick around for all of this, and you know, you probably have jobs and things like that, but we all always want to make sure that you have this program as an option any old time, get over to Spotify and sign up to be a follower of this show. Subscribe to it on Spotify or Apple or wherever you get your podcasts, and take us along with you so that you can listen on demand. Okay, I mentioned Brittany Merlot coming back tomorrow. Where am I next on the list? Oh, I got food and I got weekend stuff. I'm going to need somebody to help me out with this. Parker Olson is standing by. There he is now in Madison Studio A2 as I learn which buttons to push to bring him up. Mr. Olson, yeah. How are you?
I am good. You have piqued my interest because you said that you had food to talk about and weekends to talk about. Those are two things I'm a fan of.
The Kreitlow Kitchen was a busy one yesterday. Well, once again, from neighbors who shared, you know, what they pulled off their apple tree. Uh-huh. And so once again, from Sherry, another delicious batch of apple crisp and some applesauce as well. So very good. And then this one sounds a little odd, but we went for comfort food as well.
Yeah.
In part because I said on the radio, I think a week before last, was it like National Shepherd's Pie Day or something?
That sounds
familiar. And I said, I'm going to make that. People said, have you made it yet? No, it's summer. It's hot. But I got the ingredients.
Yeah.
Let's do that. So I got out the big cast iron pan and I put together another shepherd's pie after Sherry made the apple crisp. So it was a little hot in the kitchen yesterday on a hot day. But you know what? To have comfort food like that, like shepherd's pie and like apple crisp. I mean, I got the leftovers now for the next couple of days on the shepherd's pie. You know what I had for breakfast this morning?
Shepherd's
apple crisp. No, apple crisp. Okay. Come on. I'm not a savage.
Obviously.
I got that going for me. Right. It was good. There was the fall festival in Eau Claire, downtown Eau Claire. And that goes on for many blocks of booths and exhibits and entertainment. And it was a perfect Saturday morning to do that. We did the last pontoon ride of the season, we think, because of the dates that we've set up to have the boat taken out and put the dock up, you know, before winter and all that. And we've got other plans and things. So, you know, and the weather was perfect when we did this on Saturday. So we're like, yeah, let's call this one good. Let's make sure we end on a high note. So one last boat ride. And then from my point of view, getting in the hammock one more time for an extended period. I'm getting better at that.
Yeah?
I have to admit, I haven't mentioned this for a while now, but a couple of years back, I would talk about being in the hammock and I could barely stay in there 60 seconds.
Okay.
because as soon as I would start to relax, my mind would start to go to all the things I could be doing right now. I should be cleaning the garage, or I should be doing this. And I'd feel guilty, and I'd eventually get out of the hammock and I'd start working again and get tired again. And I'm definitely better now of like, look, if I'm getting in that hammock, my butt is staying right here for a while. So
it's a good place to be.
Yeah. Let's see. From Tony here, I was watching the kids this weekend trying to figure out what to make for dinner, then saw your post about shepherd's pie and said, that's what I should make. The kids loved it. Thanks for the idea. Well, all right, Tony.
Look at you, Pat, that's making great. A positive influence on the world.
I know. Well, I may have posted. I'm not one of those people that posts a lot of food pictures. I was especially proud of this post. And so Alicia puts up on YouTube, I saw it. It looked so good. Well, there you go.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah. So a little shepherd's pie. And I don't want to get the note. Like, it's not shepherd's pie. You know, shepherd's pie is made with veal or whatever.
Oh, whatever.
And apparently if it's made with ground beef, it's called something else. No.
Who cares?
That maybe back in the mother country, you know, you know, and the Brits want to talk that way. That's fine. But we don't need veal. We don't need mince meat. This is America. We got ground beef here. We got lots of ground beef. And that's how we make our shepherd's pie. So there you go. Luke Mathers on the text line. Pat Kreitlow, food influencer. Well, I mean, I influenced Tony. I don't know that makes me an influencer yet, but I'll take it.
And you might have made Alicia hungry, too. So,
and, yeah, that's right.
So two people have influenced.
Tony, it's called better, I believe. Yes, when we make it, we make it better. And of course, there was plenty of sports to watch. And granted, the Brewers couldn't come back yesterday. They did fall short to the Cardinals 3-2, so they couldn't quite pull off the sweep. But great victories on Friday, and then again on Saturday. And that Saturday night one, I tell you, that was an amazing comeback. I feel bad for anybody who gave up on the Brewers Saturday when they were down in like the sixth inning and said, nope, it's time to go to bed. Anybody like that is me, because that's what I did. And woke up early Sunday morning and looked at my phone. I was like, what? Called up the highlights where the Brewers tied it in the bottom of the ninth. Then they fell behind in the top of the 10th. Then they tied it in the 10th, and then they won it in the 10th. And it was, if you go back and look at the game highlights, don't worry about yesterday's game. Go to Saturday's Brewers Cardinals game. That was a fun looking comeback. As for yesterday, again, losing 3-2, the Brewers could only muster a pair of solo home runs by Caleb Durbin and Danny Jansen. The Cubs won as well, so the Brewers' magic number to clinch the Central Division stands at 8. But let's not bury the lead here. That's the magic number to clinch the division. Over the weekend, the Brewers did, in fact, clinch a playoff berth, meaning conceivably they could lose every game for the rest of the season. They would still make the playoffs. Uh-huh. That's not going to happen, but they're in. There's going to be October baseball. There so, yeah.
I'm very excited. That's 7 out of 8 years now.
Yes. And wasn't the 1 year we didn't make it, wasn't it just by like a game we missed it? I don't think it was a particularly bad year. But
no, I don't think so either.
I could be wrong. Anyway, the Brewers' homestand continues. The Cardinals have left town, but today is an off day as the what are we calling them now? The Los Angeles Angels. Yeah, as the Angels of Anaheim in Los Angeles County come to town Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday nights.
If you translate it to English, it's the Angels.
That's right.
I think we should go with that for the rest of the week.
I would be fine with that. So, again, off today, but Brewers and Angels coverage begins tomorrow at 6:05 on several Civic Media radio stations. Then again, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night games, all of them. And then they travel to St. Louis to play the Cardinals again next weekend. Of course, the Packers won back on Thursday against the Washington Commanders, and so now they are off until next Sunday. They will play Cleveland at noon next Sunday. And the Badgers were simply no match for the Crimson Tide. Alabama overpowered Wisconsin 38-14. Up next for the Badgers, they open the Big Ten part of their schedule, and that will be this coming Saturday, hosting Maryland. And that will include a 9 a.m. kickoff on several Civic Media stations. We'll get you updated on all that throughout the course of the week. Coming up, Derek Van Orden has crossed a line, several actually, politically, professionally, and perhaps the state of mind or his health. We'll get into that right after this. First, from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Hunters, beware what you eat. Wisconsin health officials have issued a new consumption advisory for ducks harvested on Green Bay. Testing shows mallard and wood ducks on the bay are contaminated with toxic PFAS forever chemicals. UW-Madison researchers have linked contamination in the bay to Tyco Fire Products near Marinette. A key research center on the Mississippi River is falling prey to big federal cuts targeting science. The French Island facility, known as an ecosystem research area, produces information on water quality, invasive species, wildlife diseases, and more. Heavy cuts to the program take effect on October 1st and could effectively eliminate more than a century of scientific research. Knowledge is power. Right now on the Defender podcast, $150 million is available to help Wisconsinites upgrade their homes and cut energy use. Learn how to get started at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Remember, you can stay up to date with our unabashedly Wisconsin news by signing up for our newsletters over at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe. Up in the top banner, today's edition from Ellie includes how to apply for FEMA flood relief and also a timely reminder from her that tomorrow is National Voter Registration Day. A good reminder to check your voter registration status and maybe make updates if you've moved and encourage other family and friends to register. Don't wait till everything gets busy next week. And in our Sunday edition from yesterday, I think I broke our readers. And I didn't mean to, but I passed along that Ron Johnson last week on the 9/11 anniversary was again sharing a conspiracy theory about the World Trade Center and that maybe there were explosives in the basement of Building 7 or just something ridiculous. My question to the readers yesterday was, if you could get Ron Johnson to stop talking forever about one conspiracy, which would it be? Oh, would it be the World Trade Center one? Would it be the COVID one? Would it be 2016 was actually a job by Ukraine and not Russia? Was it that 2020 was irregular? And I did not leave an option for all of the above. And that's what everybody demanded from all of, there were so many emails. How could you not give us an all of the above? Well, because I want to know which if you could get rid of one of them.
What's the most disturbing conspiracy theory that he's got?
Yes. What's the most disturbing of these? And so people gave it their best guess. If you'd like to be first to see our question of the week, sign up for our newsletters, upnorthnewswi.com. All right. There seems to be a free speech issue causing a serious case of irony when it comes to discussing Charlie Kirk, both the murder and the legacy of his own speech during his life. There appears to be basically a growing trend that could be summed up as free speech for Charlie Kirk, but not free speech about Charlie Kirk. The far-right provocateurs symbolize the fights over political free speech, especially on our college campuses, because Kirk would be booked for certain engagements on universities, and then they would face pressure to cancel his appearances, knowing the hateful things he was about to say. But then they would also face pressure from others not to give in to so-called cancel culture. That's what makes it so ironic that the most tangible activity in this country in the days following Charlie Kirk's murder has been the wave of firings of people for expressing their own points of view and threats of firings coming from people, including members of Congress, who would normally be the first to defend Charlie Kirk's right to speak out. There are members of Congress like Derek Van Orden, and yes, we have to talk about him again. It was one thing for him to be emotional about Charlie Kirk's murder and tweet more than 80 times in the first 24 hours after his death. Then on Friday, he tweeted another 161 times, and he is now well into the hundreds of tweets, many of them with insults and profanity, but that's simply the nature of the man. He lacks the emotional maturity to be an effective public official. The more troubling tweets are the ones that call for people to be fired or for federal funding to be cut simply because he doesn't like how they reacted to Charlie Kirk's murder and or his legacy. On the federal funding alone, this needs to be said. If Van Orden actually tried to follow through on the many, many tweets, he would have a full-time job just doing that, having to look up each person, each institution, each item in the budget of the United States government, and try to get that number changed to zero. He's now threatening to do it with the city of Ellsworth in his district because he didn't like what an employee had to say. He's threatened to do it for the entire Mayo Clinic because he didn't like what somebody posted on there. He can't do all that. He doesn't have time to do all that. And even if he did, he'd be wasting his time, which means he's wasting our money that we pay him to do a job other than scrolling and trolling on Twitter. I mean, if nothing else, maybe the congressman could travel his district a little bit more and notice all the soybean fields. The crop's looking good out there. But as we learned last week, China purchased more than $12 billion in soybeans from the U.S. last year, but thanks to Trump's made-up trade war, they have so far purchased no U.S. soybeans. So maybe Van Orden and Trump think it'll be enough to simply send support checks to farmers, but you won't be able to escape the image of soybeans piled up and rotting. So maybe he could work on that for his district instead of tweeting. But let's get back to what he is doing on Twitter. There's the firings, as we've seen in around the country. We've seen it on TV. We've seen it nationally. There's no shortage of examples, including here in Wisconsin. But it's just rich that these demands for firings from Van Orden and other Republicans come from people who love to claim that they've been persecuted for the things that they want to say. I mean, if anyone should be a champion for these newly jobless folks, it should be the Derek Van Ordens out there. But like I said, free speech for Charlie Kirk apparently was on a higher plane than free speech about Charlie Kirk. Now, don't get me wrong. We all have freedom of speech, but we are also subject to the consequences of what we say. This show, for example, could be canceled with one phone call if someone heard me say something that they thought brought shame or damage to the business. That's how it goes. But this isn't about the consequences coming from employers who bow to pressure from customers or advertisers or politicians. It's about the politicians demanding those consequences. The First Amendment doesn't protect you or me from employers who are angry or afraid, but it is supposed to protect us from the government infringing on our freedom to express ourselves. And Derek Van Orden right now is part of the government. And he and Donald Trump and so many of Charlie Kirk's supporters would love to infringe on the free speech of anyone whose speech they don't like. That's not how the First Amendment is supposed to work. But I guess I shouldn't be surprised that if they're not being true to the First Amendment, it's in line with how they've muddled up the Second Amendment and things like that. But that's a question for another day. In conclusion, this should be a time of unity, all of us together acknowledging that political violence has no place in a civil society. But that's not where we are right now, with a congressman whose obsession with tweeting threats and insults right now should be truly concerning to the people who care about him. Today's history lesson is coming up next. You're up north.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Oh, commodity prices are getting squeezed at the farm gate, but there is one element that may at least remain flat. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. What is that element? Answer next.
From sugar beet fields to dairy facilities, producers count on an operating line of credit from Ag Country Farm Credit Services to help make their operations more profitable. With multi-year commitment options, digital tools and remote deposit, and the ability to only borrow what you need when you need it, our operating line of credit makes financing your needs easier. Visit agcountry.com/lineofcredit or call 800-450-9858 to learn more. Terms apply. See website for details.
One of the major expenses that farms look at during the harvest is diesel costs. Jason Schwantz is the Senior Vice President of Energy with CHS Cooperative. He said, well, supplies have been a little tight through the summer months because some refineries have been retooling. Now, he says, producers should hopefully be looking forward to a little bit lower, if not flat, costs. But he advises, buy early.
I think we're going to kind of be in this trough here. Fuel is a little more expensive, but from a year ago, it's actually down. So I think right now is actually a good time to buy. I think supply is going to get tighter as we go into that harvest because you're just going to have heavy, heavy demand. And from everything I've heard, there is an extremely good corn and soybean crop out there, which I think everybody is very happy about. I don't know that they're exactly happy about where the commodity prices are at, but hopefully we can have a bountiful harvest and have a really good crop out there. But it's going to take a lot of fuel to go over that crop.
That advice from Jason Schwantz, the Senior Vice President of Energy for CHS Cooperative. He said, well, some refineries did retool this summer. Others have yet to do their retooling. He said that's why they're bringing more supplies to the marketplace right now.
BioVet combines the latest research and technology to develop high-quality microbial and nutritional solutions for your operation. BioVet's innovative product line supports the immune system, digestive function, reproduction, along with growth and development of your livestock. Learn more at bio-vet.com and visit us at World Dairy Expo booth number EH1503 and 1504. EH1503 and 1504.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
And today, Wisconsin Senator Pat Tested and Representative Scott Krug are introducing a bill that opens the doors for farmers and solar developers to work together locally to generate power that subscribers in Wisconsin can use. It also will give local towns and municipalities control over siting those projects. We'll keep you posted. That's a look at what's happening in food news for a Monday. More at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Pam Yonke.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We have another warm, summery day on the way. Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 85 this afternoon. The wind just light out of the southeast at 5 to 10. Tonight, mostly clear. We're going to drop into the upper 50s to low 60s. Tomorrow, more sunshine with a high in the low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone.
If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Jane, Matt, and Aaron, Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show...
I'm back.
Oh yeah, that's right. Jane is back, and we catch up on all the news she missed while she was away. Join us.
Matt and Aaron on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Welcome to today's history lesson, where on this day in 1949, The Lone Ranger appeared and premiered on ABC. They do love their gunfire in shows like this.
I had a little cap gun. Did you have a cap gun when you were little?
Of course. Yep.
Yeah. And we used to like go on the couch, on the edges of the couch, my sister and I would hold on to the arms and we would gallop. Like by bouncing up and down on the couch while we were watching the Lone Rangers. That's a fond memory for me.
Okay, well, there you go. Lone Ranger premiered this day in 1949. Let's go way up to 1986. We're doing like the season premiere, series premiere thing, of course, because it's that time of year. In 1986, this show premiered on NBC. Can you guess the show by the theme song? Hit it. Well, that's just... Kristen does not have it.
I don't have it.
It's You're like, not supposed to have it.
It's like Law and Order or...
L.A. Law. Yes.
L.A. Law. It was the first of the law shows.
Yes. And it was created by Stephen Bochco. The ensemble cast included Corbin Burnson, Jill Eikenberry, Susan Day, Harry Hamlin. And, of course, that sax in the beginning, which was on anything made in the 80s. Everything in the 80s had that sax in some way, shape, or form.
That's why I played the sax.
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm. For like 1 year. I wasn't good.
All right. Well, there it is again. Yep. Mike Post. Mike Post, who did like 500 different TV themes, did that one for L.A. Law. Let's see. The number one song this week in 1962 was by Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons.
Aw, is this a special song in your house?
It is not. No.
Hard no.
Somebody does not like that song.
I mean, this song.
Apparently, it was sung to her a lot as a kid, so it's kind of it's worn out its usefulness. Same goes, by the way, with Steve Perry's "Oh Sherry" from the 80s. Mm. Also, she's just not one of those. Doesn't want songs about her.
Do you have a song about you, Pat?
Do I have a song about me? I don't know. Muskrat Love, maybe? I don't
Juggernaut know. One.
Oh, the Juggernaut song. Yeah. I'm still trying to figure out if that was.
Oh, you actually have a real song that's actually about you yourself.
No. The song's title is Kreitlow, but it's a very disturbing song about something or another. And I have no idea how they came to call it that. And one of these days, I'm going to work up the courage to reach out to the band and say, what the heck was that about? Or since they're an Eau Claire bass band, we send Selena Heller, who joins us now from Up North News. Ms. Heller, how are you?
Good. Good morning. There's a song that's Selena, and that there's a local band from Menominee.
Really?
Yeah. I took Emery, and I got a hold of the people, like, can you sing the song so Emery hears? And she's like, what?
Ever nice. All right. All right, let's get back to our history lesson. Helen Reddy had the number one song this week in 1973.
Whose version of this song was bigger, hers or Tanya Tucker?
Good question. Definitely Helen Reddy on the Hot 100, Tanya Tucker on the country charts. Mm-hmm. They both had really good chart performance with it. Prince Harry has a birthday today. Little Prince Harry is not Little Prince Harry anymore. He's 41 years old today. Actor Tommy Lee Jones is 79 years old today. He is so good. There's been so many good movies with Tommy Lee Jones. And yet, you cannot mark his birthday without playing one clip in particular from The Fugitive.
What I want out of each and every one of you is a hard target search of every gas station,
residence, warehouse, farmhouse, hen house, outhouse, or doghouse in that area. Checkpoints go up to 15 miles. Your fugitive's name is Dr. Richard Kimball.
He's just so good. I really like
I
him.
I love the fugitive.
79 years old today. Former roommate of Al Gore back in college. Adorable. Oliver Stone is also 79 years old today. Former NFL quarterback Dan Marino from the Miami Dolphins, 64 today. On this day in 1983, one of those early 80s albums that I wore out was released on, what is this, September 15th, 1983. That would be Huey Lewis and the News, and the album was Sports. There were five hits off that album. I Want a New Drug, Walking on a Thin Line, Heart and Soul, If This Is It, and of course, The Heart of Rock and Roll. The album would sell more than 7 million copies. On this day in 1982, the first issue of USA Today was put out by Gannett. And everybody thought that was going to save newspapers because it was all colorful, you know, and had just the four same sections every day. And it was a big deal for the longest time. When was the last time you bought a newspaper? Period. You know,
I've never bought a newspaper in my life.
there it is, folks. There's the line. Yep. If you're ever looking for the generational line, it's like if you're digging through sediment and you get to a line and go, wow, there must have been like a doomsday event here. That's Parker was born and then nobody bought newspapers anymore after that.
Yeah, it's my fault, guys.
This week in 1990, the number one hit was by the group Wilson Phillips. Oh, dear. My apology. Yes, this is Release Me. I meant to get you somewhere up in the chorus rather than the intro, but they do have some good harmony here in the beginning. Wilson Phillips was made up of sisters Carney and Wendy Wilson, the daughters of Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys, and Chyna Phillips, the daughter of John and Michelle Phillips of the Mamas and the Papas. And this song, Release Me, was their second single and their second number one hit. Their first single, Hold On, also went to number one a couple of months earlier.
I always wondered, like, did they play together when they were little kids? Is
yes.
that how they knew yes. each other?
Yep, they are childhood friends. Yep, aww. That's exactly how it worked. All right, so let me ask you now, Kristen, you did not watch the Emmys last night at all?
I did not.
Okay. I knew I should have sent you a homework assignment. Selena, do you catch the Emmys at all?
I am not an Emmy watcher.
Okay. I'm not surprised for this reason. There's 9,000 networks out there. I mean, they made a joke yesterday in one of the categories about how, you know, just these five women are up for these awards when, I mean, how many actresses would be eligible for it? And, you know, you'd think it's maybe whatever it is. They joked that it was 25,000. And it feels like that way. It feels like there's 25,000 potential shows or actors or actresses. But there was a moment that unified them all that I want to talk to you about in just a minute. But first off, the show was hosted by Nate Bargatze, and where are we on Nate? Everybody likes Nate? Doesn't like Nate? Don't know? Don't care?
I think he's funny.
I vaguely remember the name.
Oh, okay. All right. Got nothing
here. Oh, there's
here.
A Saturday Night Live skit about measurement that
see,
you really
now,
need to see.
Yes. Now, and that's how he opened the show. He opened the show as the inventor of TV, Philo T. Farnsworth, and all the other guys in the lab, who also were from Saturday Night Live last night, were asking him questions about it, like, you know, we will have channels like, what's one that does it now? Cable News Network that does news. What about one called The Learning Channel? Nope, that will just be shows about something else. What about The History Channel? Oh, that will be shows about aliens, you know, and music television is no longer about music or anything like that. He pulled it off far better than I'm describing. But he also had this shtick to try to keep people to 45 seconds or less in their acceptance speeches, starting off by saying he was going to donate $100,000 to the Boys and Girls Club of America, but he was going to take $1,000 off for each second that anybody went over 45 seconds.
Wow. He'd be a horrible person if you went over.
Yeah, some people's speeches were like, come on, sit down already. You're doing it for, think of the kids. And then other people, like one time when John Oliver got up, he gave like the fastest thing. You know, I'm going to thank this person, this person, this person. All right, pay up, Nate. And then you rush off stage, you know, and then he'd have to put $1,000 back on for every second. But in the end, the windbags won. And so the money was essentially wiped out, which, and then Nate Bargatze said, no, we're going to keep the money and add to it. And actually $350,000 was donated total. So that was nice. But I really was wondering if I owned a TV based on the show. I've never seen The White Lotus. I've never seen Severance. I've never seen Seth Rogen's The Studio. And The Studio was like the big winner yesterday. It set some kind of a record for Emmy wins. 13 total Emmys. Has anybody here seen Seth Rogen's The Studio on Apple TV?
No, but I'll tell you, because I've been laid up for a couple weeks, and so I've been doing some channel flipping, which is unusual for me, and it's overwhelming the number of shows that are out there and the way that they're trying to convince you to watch all the different shows. I just didn't ever know what to pick, so I ended up not watching anything.
See, that's what you're overwhelmed.
I do that all the time. Yes.
What? Yes. Well, here's one I think you would be watching. Noah Wiley has a narrative that just can't be denied. Yeah, he got 5 nominations for ER a quarter century ago and never won. 30 years later, he puts on Scrubs and he last night won his first Emmy for playing another emergency doctor on the show The Pitt.
That's nice.
Yeah. So
I was an ER person. I did watch that back then, but I have not watched The Pitt. But although my doctor friends, who tend to be pretty critical about doctor shows, tell me it's actually quite good.
Oh.
Well, and as evidenced by the awards that it's been
9 out of 10 doctors approve of that show.
I cannot verify those statistics. Okay. Yes, that seems about right. Yep.
So let me say this about the way that TV's all fragmented and everybody's off watching their own thing. There was a moment when they paid tribute to another show that had premiered 40 years ago this week. So if I were to say the first line from the theme song, would you be able to fill in the next line from Golden Girls? If I said, thank you for being a friend, you'd sing what?
Travel down the road
and back again. Yeah. Again? Why? And you know what? The whole audience was singing it. The whole audience was like moving to the song and like, you know, digging on the Golden Girls as they put up clips. And Sherry put it perfectly. She's like, that's when TV was what we thought it would be, is it brought us all together. Everybody watched Golden Girls because there were only 3 or 4 channels on your TV, not 7,000. And maybe we need more of that, of shows that we all want to watch that aren't just called the Super Bowl.
You know, I remember Dallas when JR got shot and the whole country was wondering who shot JR, and they kept us in suspense for an entire summer. I mean, I was a little kid at the time, but that was like a huge cultural thing. We don't have that anymore.
My friend and I were just having a conversation and he was like, you know, there's nothing good prime time show that you want to watch every week on a network. Like there used to be Friends and all of that. Yes. And, you know, there's just not that anymore.
No. And frankly, I think part of the reason we watch reruns of The Big Bang Theory so much is it might have been like the last show that got that many millions of viewers at once on network TV. And now, correct me if I'm wrong, but Abbott Elementary on ABC, was that the only broadcast network show that was even up for Emmys? I think so.
Shout out to one of my neighbors up in Door County who actually developed that show. So there's a Wisconsin connection there, and she has an Emmy for Abbott Elementary.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that's
writing
great.
That down, Kristen.
Okay. That's going to be a good story for you in the future.
Yeah, and we're going to hear more from Selena on stories that she's working on, including an unusual demonstration that was held last week against budget cuts and healthcare cuts, complete with a movie theme and costumes. Selena's going to tell us all about that coming up after the news. And we'll talk to Robert Craig from Citizen Action, pushing back against Donald Trump and others trying to drag us back to the days when your cell phone was powered by shoveling coal into it, and other things that big oil would love to have us be doing going ahead and continuing to just tear up the climate. And a lot of people would like to say no thank you to all that. Live from the lake, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
My name is Chuck Collins. I'm the great-grandson of the meatpacker Oscar Mayer, and a member of the Patriotic Millionaires, a collection of wealthy Americans who share a profound concern about the dangers of concentrated wealth and power in America. Now, the fact is, you may not care how much money another person has, but you likely do care how much power another person has, especially if they're using that power to rig the rules of the economy to make themselves richer and you poorer. You see, there is a point where money is no longer money, it's power. And when rich people use their money to drown out the voices of everyday people, it threatens the safety and security of us all. Patriotic millionaires don't want to live in a country with a few extremely rich people controlling everything, leaving millions of people struggling to just get by. Luckily, we have a solution. Tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. I'm Chuck Collins. I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, could deal a death blow to the impact, the power, the capacity of the Supreme Court to decide Voting Rights Act cases. This is one of those times when the Supreme Court needs to hear from the public about the appropriate resolution of this major case that could compromise the Voting Rights Act going forward beyond Louisiana.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
And good morning once again, everyone, and welcome back. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow here on 98.9 WXCO. I'm Chad Holmes. Ian Welsh will join us in just a little bit. But first, to start things off this morning, another terrific show is coming this weekend here to Central Wisconsin. It is the Wausau Community Theater. They are presenting Home, I'm Darling by Laura Wade. It'll be at the UWSP Wausau Black Box Theater Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 7 p.m., and then a special Sunday matinee at 2 p.m. And to talk about the production, talk about everything that's going on, we're very happy to sit around the table and talk to a couple of cast members, Chanel Vopel and Paula Hawkins. And ladies, both of you, thank you for coming on over this morning.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. And again, we'll make sure you get a little bit closer to that microphone, Paula, and also Chanel as well. But Home, I'm Darling. Number one, you have to think about it when you say it. Darling, I'm home is the first thing in the mind. What is the meaning of the title of the show?
I think it's just a little bit of a juxtaposition just to get you started thinking about what the show is going to mean. It's a little bit backwards. It's a little bit flipped. And I think the show takes on lots of themes like that. A lot of talk about domesticity and the value of a woman's place in the home and in the workplace and in the world. So is it Darling, I'm Home, or is it Home, I'm Darling? So we all have to think about things just a little bit.
Based on that description, it sounds like it could be a drama, but it's not a drama, is it?
It's a little bit of a drama, but I would say it's a light drama. There's comedic moments in it, but there is still a lot of thoughtful material.
And Paula, what character are you playing?
I play Sylvia. I'm Judy's mother. I was raised through the 50s, and this show is about the 50s, I've learned a lot about it because I was only 10 at the end of the 50s. So mm-hmm. I'm learning a lot as my character about what it was actually like as a woman.
And Chanel, Paula said, Judy's mother. And you are Judy. Can yes. you talk a little bit about the character of Judy, one of the leads in this show?
Yes, I think Judy is quite interesting. She has a desire to live out her dreams, as we all do, right? And her dream is to live life authentically, like she is in the 1950s. So she chooses to leave the workforce, and she chooses to stay at home and keep her home clean and just live in just complete domestic tranquility. Everything is lovely. Everything's put away. There's not a single thing that you see in her home that isn't from the 1950s or earlier, that isn't handmade, that isn't vintage. And she takes such great pride in the care of her space.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really interesting to see how much joy she gets from that. And then also, as a married person, as her character is married, she has to kind of reconcile that with like with her husband's desires and what does he want and what brings him fulfillment. You know, I think anybody who is in a relationship and who has been married has to have some like conversations about that. I don't know. I think she's just really interesting. I think she's a very dynamic character.
And Paula, what's the relationship between mother and daughter in this show?
I think they're close, they're loving, but I don't approve of her lifestyle. Mm. Because I was raised in the feminist era, the character, that this bothers me a lot, that she's not putting herself out back out into the workforce and becoming a domestic goddess. This I don't approve of it.
And Chanel, Judy, you said, when you were explaining the character, what's below the surface here? Is it as domestically blissful as you made it sound in your description? Is there anything below the surface there for your character?
There is so much below the surface. I would encourage people to come and see the show and find out.
Don't want to spoil it too, right?
I think that no matter where we're at in life, even if things are really wonderful and feel successful and feel like they are what we want them to be, there's still some areas where things are not actually perfect. And if you can imagine an income or like a home with just one income, they're going to be financial decisions you have to make. And in this particular show, she doesn't have children. She's staying at home and taking care of the home, and that's her job. Mm-hmm. That's what she really is bringing value in her family and her relationship. But then her husband is the only income. So they have to kind of figure out how to manage life like that. And we know in today's economy, that can be a little bit of a financial challenge.
How many total characters are in the production?
Six.
Mm-hmm. How long has the rehearsal process been for this show?
This one a little bit longer, 7-8 weeks, I believe.
That is a bit longer than normal. Is that a good thing? Because I think that you can look at it maybe two ways, that sometimes it can be where, I don't know, for lack of a better term, you can peak too early. And do you feel like this has been good for this production, that having that little bit of extra time has
helped? I think
helped?
It's been very good. We have actors who are seasoned actors. We have mm-hmm. actors that are new to theater. And because of the dynamic relationships between all the characters, there's so many layers that I think the extended rehearsal period has been a very good thing.
And Chanel, what about you in terms of the process? How many shows have you been in, number one? Are you a theater veteran?
I guess I would be considered one of the veterans of the cast.
How do you look at, you know, when you start a production, you know, let's start maybe from the table read and then right to, until opening night, your process, is there anything in particular that you feel is very important in terms of developing a character?
Yes. So I actually read this script, I think, about 4 or 5 years ago, and I just fell in love with the story. I knew we needed to produce it at some point, mm-hmm. and now was the right time to do it, so it was great. As a performer, I really dive into the heart of the character that I'm playing. I want to know their thoughts, their feelings, their motivations. I want to understand their history. And what I found so intriguing with Judy is that she had an unconventional life growing up, and she chooses a different but also unconventional life as an adult. And I thought that was really interesting to dive into. And with any script, the author kind of tells you what they want you to know about the character, but then they give you a freedom to develop more ideas on your own. And I think we've been able to have the opportunity to really do that. And with this show in particular, there's a lot of cultural references. This is an English production. It's set in Britain. Mm. It's set in modern times, but of course, it's also kind of set in the 50s or aesthetically in the 50s. So we've had to study British accents and dialect training. We've really looked into modern pop culture. We've looked into 1950s historical references and culture. So it's been a really fun learning process.
We will have more with Chanel Vopel and Paula Hawkins of the Wausau Community Theater and their production of Home, I'm Darling coming this Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Black Box Theater at UWSP at Wausau. We'll be back with them at 7:22. Coming up next, top of the hour information update, and then more of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Secretary of State Marco Rubio met with Prime Minister Netanyahu in Jerusalem today and vowed unwavering support for Israel's number one goal.
The people of Gaza deserve a better future, one that cannot begin until Hamas is eliminated.
Netanyahu called President Trump the greatest friend Israel has ever had in the White House. Still no motive in last week's murder of conservative critic Charlie Kirk. CBS's Andres Gutierrez with the latest on the suspect.
22-year-old Tyler Robinson is not cooperating with law enforcement. He has not confessed to commit assassination to authorities. He will be formally charged on Tuesday in Utah County.
Noah Wiley, nominated for an Emmy 5 times for ER, has finally won his first prize for actor in a drama series.
To anybody who's going on shift tonight or coming off shift tonight, thank you for being in that job. This is for you.
Stephen Colbert won his first for the now canceled Late